are called. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. Today in St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, we hear of the universal call to holiness. The universal call to holiness. When was this call to holiness first issued? In the most profound sense, it's beyond all time. Because the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, may they be blessed forever, have always, if you can use that word, but we speak by analogy, from all eternity, have always been calling out to one another and responding. As we pray in the Creed, the Father is eternally begets the Son. Always, at every moment, you could say, to speak analogously, always the Father is calling out, saying, Son. Always, from all eternity, the Son has been saying, Abba, Father, responding to that call of the Father. And then, as we know, both together, Father and Son, together, spirating, breathing forth, sending the Holy Ghost, who also responds in his own way. So that universal call is beyond all time. That universal call enters time in Genesis, as we read of it, when time is created. And God says, let there be light. That too is part of this universal call. God calls out of nothingness things that have no existence. He calls them into being. And in that sense, all of creation also is called by God. But God didn't stop there, as we know. Even a greater call on that sixth day of creation, when now he calls Adam and Eve by name. This is a special kind of call. He gives Adam and Eve personal names, so he can communicate himself to them and they can respond. That is, the essence of our vocation too. You notice in Genesis that then God gives Adam the charge himself then to give names. He names his wife, and he's given the charge to call the animals too by name. And so that creation, in that sense, begins to respond to the call. Wish we could stop the story there, but we can't. As we know, we had the fall, and sin entered the world, and then animals and creation and men and women, you and I, we started to refuse the name that God gave us. God says, I wish to call you man and woman, Adam and Eve. And we say, no, I want to follow my own rules and my own law. And so that is what sin is, when we refuse the call of God, when we do not follow, we do not correspond to the name that he's given us. So as you know, that applies to everyone, everything in the world, everything that exists. Which I haven't even got to baptism yet. What does St. Paul say in the epistle today? There is one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. All. Very important. That's the call to every creature, everything that exists, is called to come back and give glory to God. Most of us, probably everyone, hopefully, unless there's some newborn babes that haven't made it to the altar, the font yet, we too have been called in a special way. That's the universal call, what I just shared with you. But then we're called by our baptism This is a special call. To signal that, of course, we're given a special name, a new name. We receive at baptism. Called not only to follow now the natural law of Moses, the Decalogue, but now to follow even a higher law, the full revealed truth communicated by Christ and through his church. And then again, in confirmation, a new name. If you want to wonder why we keep getting all these new names, because the new name signifies, among other things, a deepened call, a new aspect of your call, which participates in that universal call to holiness, to come back to God, eternal fellowship with the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. That's the call. It sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? And then we read a bit further in the epistle, and we get some hard words from St. Paul. How do we do this? How do we respond fully to this call of our baptism? Go walk in all humility and meekness with patience or suffering. Another way to say that, in the words of Christ, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Without that, there isn't a true discipleship. There isn't a true correspondence, a communication, a response to the Blessed Trinity. We refuse that unless we follow those words of our Lord. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Last Sunday's gospel, so beautiful, our Lord gave us another hard saying, go sit down in the lowest place. It's one of the great mysteries of the glory of God that it likes to hide itself. God's glory appears to us oftentimes as darkness or obscurity. And so Christ says, go and be the little one. Go be the hidden one. And he went first, 30 years. Tell me what our Lord did for 30 years. We see him once in the temple at 12. And then we don't hear about him. The hiddenness, the hidden life of the Lord, profound mystery. That's the glory of the Lord, but obscure. We can't see it, perceive it directly. And that's the kind of glory we're called to as well. Of course, the glory in heaven forever, please God, but also in this life, where the glory of the baptized Christian is very obscure and hidden. In the gospel, this idea continues in the liturgy today, where we see that our Lord does not throw away the law of Moses, the natural law, divine positive law. He doesn't. He was accused of doing that by those lawyers. Tricky, gotta watch out for them. He takes the law of Moses and shows himself to be the true Moses, the true legifer, the true lawgiver. He elevates those twin tablets of Moses that he received on Mount Sinai from God. He elevates and purifies the natural law and gives us the new law of the gospel, which contains all of that, but now is elevated and purified. And so our Lord says, I give you two. You ask for one, I'll do better. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the entire law and the prophets. See? The entire law and the prophets, elevated, purified, a new vocation, you could say. What does it say in the New Testament? St. Paul says, the end, the finality, the end of the law is Christ. Doesn't go away. It's elevated and purified in the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the incarnate word. We see this elevation and purification in many ways. Just to pick one concrete specific example so you can see what do I mean by this elevation and purification. Three chapters ahead of today's chapter, Matthew chapter 19, those tricky lawyers say, what about this marriage thing? Because, you know, Moses told us we could divorce our wives if we got sick and tired of them. What do you say about that? Our Lord says, because of the hardness of your hearts, did Moses permit this? But in the beginning, it was not so. In that one moment, our Lord has taken the Mosaic Law and he's elevated it, he's purified it, restored it to its original purity as God had intended it when he gave it to him on Mount Sinai. And so our Lord sets again, reminds us, no, this is of the natural law. This is the divine will from all eternity cannot be changed. I instituted marriage in the garden. One man, one woman. A covenant, partnership for the whole of life can be dissolved by death only. And that is the teaching of the gospel. Of course, even the disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can fulfill this commandment? And Christ says to you and to me, you would like to follow me? You want to pick up your cross and deny yourself? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so, we can't live out our baptismal vocation, or a vocation to marriage, or a vocation to religious life, or a vocation to holy orders. We can't do any of that by ourselves. If we try, we certainly will fall. But God is there always to lead us by the hand and to show us the way. And so, with prayer and self-denial, we're enabled by the power of the Holy Ghost, the divine Trinity dwelling in the souls of the just. We have divine help, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Advocate, to help us, to lead out, to respond to our call, to be called by our name, our baptismal name, our confirmation name, to be called by those names, and not just to say, that's nice, and I have a little medal and a little holy card, and I put it in a drawer and never think about it anymore. That's not why we receive the new names. It's so that our souls, our lives, begin to resonate, to shimmer, to radiate some of that divine splendor. That's the vocation of the baptized. It's very beautiful. Okay, so in closing then, let us go home, well, after the picnic, let us go home and reflect some more on these beautiful readings, and let us make the prayer of Daniel, which we find in the offertory today, let us make that prayer our own. Do you remember Daniel? Dust off your Bibles. Daniel, he was a prophet of exile. Remember, Israel was exiled to Babylon. And so he lived not at home, not in the Jerusalem below, but he was in exile in Babylon. So we don't live in Jerusalem either, as you know, and we don't live in the Jerusalem above, which is our mother, as St. Paul says. We're not there yet, so we're below. We're in Babylon, in exile, not to be at home. And so Daniel prays this prayer, and we'll make this prayer our own. Mercifully hear, O Lord, the prayers of thy servant. Illuminate thy face above thy sanctuary, and mercifully regard thy people who have called upon thy name. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.